Good something, everybody. Welcome to the Casa de Jaja podcast.
The first one. It's number one.
We're number one.
We've never done this before.
So. Welcome. I am Daniel Reskin.
And I am Adrian Mesa.
And we are Miami comedians.
Yes.
Stand-up comedians.
And what we're doing here is basically we're putting a highlight reel of this fun show that goes on every month at Sweat Records.
Perhaps you've heard of it. It's called Casa de Jaja.
Casa de Jaja.
It happens every second Tuesday of the month. It's been going on for over 4 years. It has been a delight to run and book. It is a fantastic showcase. I'm very happy to be a part of it. Adrian is there every month.
I'm there every month. And we want to share our fun with you.
Finally. We've kept it to ourselves long enough. I feel guilty.
It's time to go intergalactic with this.
Planetary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we to expect this evening?
What we're going to do is actually play some highlights or clips of some of the best comedians.
Some of the best, like who, perhaps?
Like us, maybe?
Well, that's quite appropriate for the first episode.
Why not?
Establish context and all?
Yeah, so you're hosting, right? But, mm-hmm. Oh, we have a special treat. Your dad intros you.
Yes. Oh, man, and he introduced me into this world. And he introduces me on stage.
Oh, that's a sweet treat. Mm. So then it's you, and then you should put me next. All right.
You know what? Even though we've already edited it, I will.
Thank you. And we're then tapping it all off.
We're going to have local favorite Forrest Shaw.
Sweet.
And he is an absolute treat.
Oh, by the way, while you'll be hearing all this in the background, I just want to let you know, it is in a record store, and you know, they have coffee, so you're going to hear a little cappuccino wand.
Yes. It's just milk steaming.
Steaming milk. There's cash registers.
Door beeping. You know. But it's in the background under the layers of laughter.
Just to let you know, it's
but no, this is real
experience.
It's really cool. Like, just pictures on. We're going to show you a picture of it. It's a little indie record store.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you also interview Forrest.
Yes.
Later.
The events from the show inspire an interview about comedic integrity and writing process and topless vacuuming. It's going to be an awesome interview.
All right, let's do this.
Let's jump on in there.
Must be a tall guy up here. I'm not Daniel Reskin. Yay! But I am half of that. I am a Reskin, which, as we all know, is Redskin without the D. And I'll let him tell you the other part of that. I am Daniel's father. Daniel was an experiment that went horribly wrong. Lauren worked out okay, but no, seriously. We're having a fire drill right now, so we'll have to leave the building now. There will be no comedy tonight. Sorry. No, I'd like you to give a warm, happy, healthy New Year welcome to the funniest son that I have, Mr. Daniel Reskin, now here live.
You old fart. Papa Reskin, everyone. Give it up for Papa Reskin. Here's how cool my dad is. His name is Charles, right? No, that's not what he goes by. He goes by Chaz with an S, not a Z. Z would be corny. He's a fucking musician. He's cool. Thank you for setting up my jokes for me, Dad. That's really nice. He does the setup. I'll come and do the punchline just as soon as you forget what he said. It's a great comedy strategy here. Awesome. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Casa de Jaja. Give yourself a round of applause. Coming out to support a live, unfiltered, delicious comedy. Oh, so happy to be here in this new year. A new year of Casa de Jaja. One of my New Year's resolutions, I had to learn how to Dougie. Can anyone teach that? Does anyone out there know the Dougie? I'm a little classier than that. I was actually trying to find an instructor to learn how to Douglas. So that's actually my... Can anyone instruct me how to Douglas? The finer points of a well-executed Douglas. Thank you. It's my new Dougie material, people. Ah, I just heard the song. Okay, I know it's like 4 years old and everyone from it got killed in a gang war already. I love it. I love the Dougie. It's like the old adage says, you know. You show a man the Dougie, everybody will like him. But if you teach a man to Dougie, everybody love him. true. I think that was Dickens. Oh, I'm going to be doing 30 minutes on Dougie material, everybody, just so you know. So we're on the same page. Dougie Douglas, comic actor Dougie Doug, is going to be here from the 90s. Oh, extravaganza. Operation Dumbo Drop? Okay. So people, yeah, I said I was skinny, you know. That's part of the thing I've always been. This is me beefy. Like, I've always been, like, the skinniest skinny in the world. But I don't like the word skinny. That's what I have an issue with. Because if you're fat, you're fatty, you have more fat. You're, you know, bony, maybe I understand that. Skinny, I don't, I actually have less skin. I have far less skin than the fat person who has lots of stretched out skin. It is, I simply have an issue with the wording itself. You know, like, skinny to me is like a 600-pound parade float of a human being gets, like, gastric bypass surgery and loses 500 pounds in a three-day weekend, you know, and then all of a sudden they have this, like, giant flying squirrel, like, it's like a flesh kimono, like a sweaty pinstriped stretch mark, sakura cherry blossoms made of bed sores. It's beautiful. Just drape it on yourself. And at that point, the only fun you have is just, like, pretending to be a pile of laundry when people walk in the room so you can scare them. That is skinny, okay? That's all I'm saying. We all have our struggles, don't we? No? Just me. Okay. Is he being rhetorical or is he talking to us? I don't know. You guys are going to have to decide. Think on your feet tonight. There's going to be a lot of comedians probing questions. Probing things. Camera crew's here tonight. Give it up for filming things, digital archiving. A show called Where the Fuck Am I? Where the F asterisk asterisk K am I? Which is very classy. I see what you did there. And we're recording the whole thing for a podcast tonight, which is cool. Podcast, you guys hip to the podcasts? Which comes from the Latin word for no one over 50 will ever hear this. It's the radio, people. It's the radio. Yeah, so we're going to cut up the show and start getting that going. So guys, get your heads right, okay? Perspective. That's all I'm saying, you know? Because you never know, like, I was feeling quite shitty, but there's this dude in my neighborhood. I saw this Jamaican dude. He's always out there. He was on the street, and he was so pumped up about life. He was so happy. He was just, like, screaming into the sky. Ja bless. I made eye contact with him. I was like, my brethren, I feel you, all right? Good looking out. And he was like, what you mean, white boy? I said I'm jobless. Employment rates are down. And then he called me a bumblebee or something like that. I didn't catch that part. Oh, no. I love Jamaicans, man. We hung out with a lot of Jamaicans back in my high school days. They're so fun. It's cool people to talk to. They're hilarious. They're so hilarious when they're pissed off at you. Like, when you get cussed out by a Jamaican, it is the most beautiful, free-flowing word jazz. It's like poetry. They're just like, you fucking blood clad bomber ass pussy hoe fatty killer, what you know I'm going to drink, cop you nasty rude boy bomber. And I'm like, what? Are you mad at me? You passed me a blunt while you were saying that. I'm not sure. It's kind of mixed signals. I don't quite understand. Thank you. You know what? You should turn those dreadlocks into hope locks. You're really an optimist. You are. High-level puns, people. You're going to see some good punmanship tonight. All right. Well, you know, that's my initial set. I'll be here all night. The next comedian is here every month. He is one of our house comics on tap. So do try and tap that after the show. Give a round warm of applause for my brother, Adrian Mesa.
Big round of applause for Daniel Reskin, everyone, and all the other comedians you've seen here tonight. Thank you, Sarcastico. The lagging clapper. Yeah. Happy New Year, guys. I know I didn't see you yet, so fucking Happy New Year. You can do that. There's like people trying to put a rule. Oh, dude, it's fucking January 10th, bro. Fuck you. I haven't seen you yet. I haven't seen you yet. You know what? Take it back, bro. See you next year. Maybe. Jerk. Mom. So, I speak to her in Spanish because I'm Cuban. I translate it on the fly because I'm a pro. You guys ever try to order pizza recently? What the fuck is going on with pizza? Huh? Try to order cheese pizza, I think it's the easiest thing in the world. Cheese pizza, address, bring it. This kid's on the phone, he's like, sir, would you like to try our cheesy bread? It comes with its own dipping sauce. I was like, what? We have bread with cheese in it, and you can dip it in pizza flavored sauce. I was like, oh, I heard you, young man. Just sounds like, to me, you trying to break down ingredients in a pizza I ordered in circle form, all right? What the fuck is this? What is this, a lazy pizza? What I call IKEA pizza? What is this? It's coming with a chef, an oven? What's happening? How about you give me a tomato, a cow, and some wheat fields? I'll figure it out. Sir, it's only 99 cents. I was like, oh, that's not bad, actually. Let's get that. That sounds good. Thanks. See you soon. So my girlfriend broke up with me 8 years ago. And the thing that it is, it's difficult, man. I'm a sensitive man. 8 years ago. You know, I don't miss her that much. You know what I miss most? Her cats. Yeah. They're my little buddies. I miss the cats, man. You know, I figured out, though, you know, I like cats better than dogs. I do. Found this out when I was high. Cats are better than dogs for just one reason. Cats will never bust you for drugs. And that's why they to their favor, cats, you win. You never see a feline unit pulling you over, is all I'm saying. It's always these canine units eager to please motherfucking German Shepherd. All right, bitches be snitches, is what I'm saying. Shit. Shits. All right, I got a new bit. Let's see. Where is it? It's in my head. Is it? Is it in your heart, though? I don't know. Power to the people. Power to the people, guys. We learned a lot of shit. People of the year, person of the year. Fucking protester. Yeah. No one had shit to say after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People. People have the power. I realize this. You know what? I think we're in good hands with us. We can do this. Think about it. Think we go to, let's as an experiment tomorrow. Everyone here, go to Starbucks or your independent record shop that has coffee. And you go in there and just and you know for the creamer that you get, just ask for whale milk. See what happens. See what happens. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like whale. Be like, yeah, let me get a whale milk. He's like, I'm sorry, sir. Did you say whole milk? No, I said whale. By the 29th person, think about that shit. By the 29th person, be like, dude, everyone's asking for whale milk, man. What the fuck? Email, fucking send out to Seattle, coffee industry, boom, they'll make it happen. This is what they want. They want whale milk. Well, let me tell you what, guys. All right, it's better for us. It has 4 times the amount of protein than fucking cow milk. Also has the consistency of toothpaste, which is cool. So, you know, put that in your pipe. Whale milk. Also, you guys tired of saggy pants? Yeah, me too. Sorry, I'm tired of seeing butts, you know, everywhere. You know, and they keep getting lower and lower as the days go on. Look, eventually, they're just going to be walking around penguins, just straight up pants on the floor. People try to saggy pants legislation, trying to get old white crusty dudes to pass the fucking gavel down and make some kind of rule that you can't have. You know what? Let's not get them involved. Bureaucracy, waste of time. Power to the people. Alright? Next time you see one of those hip hop dudes with the pants ass and the ass hanging out, and you're hanging out with your grandmother, she's like, I don't understand the world! Grandma! This is disgusting! Shut it! I got this! This is what we do, you do? Alright? Everyone, you gotta be in your car. Alright? Make sure you're in your car. When you see that guy, just as you're driving, roll your window down. If you still have one of those, if you want to be grandma, if you're driving with your grandmother's old Studebaker, she's got one of those. Roll this shit down just to go, sweet ass, bitch! Think about it. After the 29th person and that shit happened to him, you're like, yo, fuck this shit. I'm gonna invest in some suspenders. Can't take this motherfucking devil out of me. By the way, that was a white guy, if you're wondering. So relax, America. Well, in conclusion, love the one you're with. Also, Crosby, Stills, and Nash is a good band. I think we should go dancing after this. Like, all of us. You know what I mean? You want to? Just dance, just find a club in Little Haiti. We'll go to it. We're going to play some booty music. I like that. I like that. Two Live Crew? You have fans? Two Live Crew? Boys and Clan? I'm talking booty bass. Miami, early 90s, late 80s. It's our folklore music. You gotta enjoy it. It all starts off the same way with some dude say some unintelligible shit at the beginning of a track, like, get down that door, stick it on, struggle, 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 what? And you'd be like, what was that? Doesn't matter what that guy said, all right? It's rhetorical. Chill. Relax, all right? Because what's coming is the bass. About to shake you up. About to crack your fucking bones, marrow be boiling over inside your body. Every song. It's a formula, they stick with the formula. The lyrics are always about the same thing. It's about booty. And its neighbors. Sample lyrics. Tight white pants! Make a brother go loot, loot! Oh, what the black going on? Wanna get up on that all night long? Let me see that pig knuckle. Which is poetry, guys. That's a metaphor for lovers and love. That was my coming of age music, actually. That's what I heard in sixth grade dances at St. Stephen's. Like, you know, you're just going through puberty, you just get a boner, and then you gotta be thrown into this disgusting world. Sister Mary Grace is in the corner doing the sign of the cross. Oh, Jesus. The children are fornicating on the floor. Lord, help us. Times have changed, Lord. Yeah, times have changed, Sister Mary Grace. Times have changed. Not for the better, I don't think. Because I like the music of the 50s and 60s, man. This is nice. Like, if that's the soundtrack of your life, you can't be a dick, you know? You hear a song, you be driving around like, hey, Buzz, you see that guy over there? Let's beat him up and take his money. Good idea. Turn on the radio. Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, lolly, lolly. You know what, buddy? Never mind, huh? I don't know what changed my mood. Let's go get a strawberry milkshake. Yeah, two straws, of course. Of course, Buzz. I'm on a shoestring budget. I only got a nickel on me. Only got a nickel. I'm only got a nickel. I'm gonna end out on a low-key note, guys. I want to thank everyone who came out here tonight, personally, after the show. And I want your name, and I want your vital stats. And I want to be a fan of yours. Was that creepy in the end there? All right. Well, motherfuckers, see the challenge. Thank you very much. Hope to see you next month here at Sweat. Give it up for my brother here, Daniel Rizzo.
Adel Maisler. Adrian Muslimazel. Oh, we love him. Let him feel it. Oh. Well, our next comedian of the evening, this delicious night. He's the man. I call him Fofo for show. I say yeehaw for he shaw. His name is Forrest Shaw. Give it up for him right now. Local favorite.
All right, let's get into it. So everyone's very excited about pot, I noticed. Daniel mentioned pot, and then he ate the pot. It's very, that's just easy, isn't it? You guys are just, hey, we like pot. Fucking grow up, all right? Get so fucking excited about pot. I have a friend that tweeted today. He's like, oh, there's a study that says smoking a marijuana cigarette is healthier than a cigarette. I was like, the fuck? Who gives a shit? Like, we know cigarettes are bad already. It wasn't like, it was like marijuana is healthier than tofu. We've been like, holy shit, we didn't know that. Let's start smoking more pot. They're comparing it to a cigarette. Fucking, look, man, I smoke pot occasionally. I'm not saying don't smoke pot. I'm just saying shut the fuck up about it. Just smoke it. You don't have to explain to us why. Dude, it's better for you than a cigarette. And I hate when people get into that shit. Yeah, it does a lot of stuff, good stuff. People don't know about, like, glaucoma. There's something for that. Rope. You can make rope out of it. It's itchy clothing. You can do that too. The worst one ever. I'm sure someone said this here before. It's from the earth. Like, why would God put it here? It's on the earth. It's from the earth. So you smoke it. It's like, hey, pothead, everything is from the earth. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like, everything was already here. We're not going to get a shipment in from Mars all of a sudden. Like, you're going to start smoking arsenic now, too? Do a bong hit a lava? Like, shut the fuck up. Go beg for change over there. Whatever you're supposed to do. I'm working out now. Can you tell? It's fucking looks great. You can almost not see my tits. So that's what I'm... But my mom got me a personal trainer for my birthday. That's what I've been doing. Just working out and fucking sucks. It sucks right now. Right now I'm still at the stage where, like, my body knows I'm doing something good for it, but it's still like, fuck you, every time I do it. Because I'm not like... I see when people on P90X are like, this is fun. They're sweating. This is a great workout. I'm like, I'm dying every workout that I'm doing with this trainer. And it just... It's so hard to work out, like to get the calories out of your body is really hard. But to put them in, it's so fucking easy to do that. Like, I don't know why we're built that way. You know how easy it is to eat a box of donuts? That's really easy. I can do that in a commercial break, no problem. I can do that. And to get that out of my body, it's like 17 workout sessions. I gotta starve myself for a week. Like, that's not fair. I mean, I'm there, I'm doing like this exercise, and I'm doing like this. I'm just sweating and I can't breathe. I'm like, all right, how many calories was that? It's like, that was about 20. Right there, that was like 20. All right, I was hoping 3,000. That's what that felt like right there. But 20, you say. All right, it should be as hard to put the calories into your body as it is to take out of your body. And then we would eat less, right? If you went to a restaurant, you're like, yeah, I'm going to get the country fried steak with some mushroom gravy and some mashed potatoes. All right, you want to get on that zip line right there. Go down to that obstacle course. Work your way through there. There's going to be a guy at the end with a salad. He's going to punch in your face. That's what you're going to need. All right, sounds good. Good option. Go to Taco Bell drive-thru. I want 3 crunchy Taco Supremes. All right, that's going to be 862 push-ups. So go do those over on the grass, fatty. We'll bring the tacos to you. I'm like, no, I don't want to. No, you're mistaken. I just want to eat in my car. I don't want to do any exercise. I just want to sit and eat in my car. All right, the only thing we can give you for that are these hot sauce packets. You can squirt them in your mouth. And that's what I do. I'd squirt hot sauce packets in my house at 4 in the morning. That way I wouldn't have to work it off. All right. I'll do 2 more jokes, right? Is that good?
3 okay. More.
3 more. Hey, fucking don't get aggressive with me, sir. My voice is going. I'm doing this for your benefit. All right. Throw that camera in the fucking fish tank. Let's go for these last 2 jokes. But but I have an addictive personality. That's why I eat, you know. I used to gamble a lot. No, I don't do that anymore. I just eat. I'm sure there's some addicts in here, right? And if you are, I totally empathize with you. Unless you're a hoarder. There probably isn't any hoarders in here, but I can't stand those people. Do you guys watch that show? Do you get angry at those people? Like, I get so physically angry at the hoarders. Like, I just want to be like, bulldoze their house and be like, it's clean. You're happy right now? All right, you're cured. I feel like they're way too nice on that show on hoarders. They make all these deals with them. They're addicts. You're not supposed to be making deals with them. Like, have you ever watched Intervention? That's tough love. But on hoarders, it's like, okay, you can keep this collection of dirty toothbrushes. You can keep that. But we got to get rid of the dead dog. Got to do it, all right? That's a deal breaker right there, so... It's a shitty addiction, because if you're a drug addict or an alcoholic, before you hit rock bottom, those are fun times, right? That's what you're going to be talking about the rest of your life. What are you going to talk about if you're a hoarder? Like, you remember that one summer? We were sifting through that bag of cat feces, looking for those orange rinds. I knew they were in there. There's another thing to that joke, but I just want to do one other joke. So, the last part of the joke's hilarious. You can come out somewhere else and see me do that. But. All right, so I travel a lot, and I fly. A lot of comedians talk about flying, and it's just, I never wanted to talk about it, but I just, you know, I am, so fuck you guys, whatever. But people get upset, all right, you know, when you fly the security line. Everyone always complains about that. The TSA, they're stupid, and they fucking, can you believe they did this and that? I'm like, look, they're not, I'm not saying they're the brightest bunch, because there's a lot of tattoos and fucking weird neck fat and stuff going on there. They're not like trained Navy SEALs there, but we don't just want to get on a plane, right? And we want them to make sure that people don't have guns on the plane and stuff like that. There's my voice. That was weird. It was like a transformation. It's like Mission Impossible right there. But I feel like they're necessary. I feel like some of it's a little bit overboard. Like they make you take your shoes off because there was that shoe bomber, but it never even really was a shoe bomber. And then there was the liquid thing because it was supposedly a liquid bomb that also never happened. And it's like, that's a little, because that shit never happened. Like, no one ever blew up a plane with a shoe or with a liquid thing, but they still make you do that. So I know it's a necessary evil, but I don't mind that as much. What I really care, I don't like babies on a plane. I know that's not like a revolutionary thing, but when they start crying, it's just like, fuck, I already am afraid of flying. So I'm like, ah, fuck that kid. So what I'm hoping somebody does is I'm hoping somebody makes a bomb that doesn't work out of a baby. That's what I'm hoping, because, you know, just like put a shitty digital watch on it or something, put some wires sticking out of the side. And it won't work at all. Of course, it's not going to blow up the plane, but then you'll be like, hey, we're not allowing babies on the plane anymore because, you know, that one thing that happened. So, all right, guys, that's my time. Thanks a lot.
Bobo Shaw, everybody, give it up for Forrest Shaw. Awesome.
Well, we were definitely good, weren't we?
I'm not sure if you're being genuine or not.
No, that was awesome. I loved it.
It was. We were among the goodest.
There were so many freaking awesome comedians on the show.
There really were. It was a packed lineup. We would love to give you all a taste. I would love to. Except
why not?
We have so much time, and I only have so much audio editing skills.
Oh, fair enough.
And I have 2 loads of laundry in. I have some aprons that need cleaning for tomorrow morning's shift.
All right.
But enough about my Rosie the Riveter struggles.
All right, so what are you going to interview Forrest now? You're going to the Forrest Compound.
If you remember our last comedian's closing bit, Forrest Compound. Boom, talking it. Joke writing. Also, that creepy babies.
No babies.
There hopefully won't be. And all right. Lovely comedian Lisa Correo also sat in on the interview. And we hope you enjoy. Adrian, you weren't there, though.
No. Good luck on your investigative reporting.
4.5. Okay. So we are here in the South Florida. I'm not going to say cat ranch, but...
He's dead.
I'm not going to say what I'm saying right now. So, yes, Daniel Reskin here hosting the Casteja podcast. You just heard some juicy clips from the show, probably, if things are still going to be cut as planned. And I am here with Forrest Shaw and Lisa Correo.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are here in Forrest's lovely home of glass and stone and wood.
Palatial.
And cats. The four things, the four elements. And yeah, so we are talking about parallel thinking and joke writing. And when you happen to write that joke that you love, that happens to already have been written by any number of people, which happened at Casa during your set, I understand.
Yeah, so did they just hear it?
I'm going to say that, yeah, we'll probably go from the clip to this.
All right, so I had a joke about...
Your closer.
A joke about the baby and bomb, yada yada.
Bomb baby.
Bomb baby. And I had thought about that joke that week leading up to it. I hadn't done it yet. And decided to do on stage, and I was very, like, loosely done, just kind of hashing it out on stage, but it got a very big response at the end, and I was immediately excited for that, because I got off stage thinking, oh, I've got so many sets the rest of this week, I'm going to work it out, I'm going to have it all set.
You have the future for the joke, yeah, you guys are going to run hand in hand,
we got another bit, and you know, I was very excited. So I go outside and I go and I speak to another comic, Matt Z. And he tells me, he informs me that Jim Norton has a joke just like that. Mm-hmm. And that even he had a thought of having a similar joke about that before Jim Norton. So I was like, oh, well, how similar is it? Because I'm just not even ready to get rid of it. I just got a huge response from it. So I look up on YouTube on my iPhone.
Denial. That's
immediately, the first thing that comes up, Jim Norton, baby, plane, and a martini. Yeah. And it's...
Yeah, we heard the joke.
Only it's... 50 seconds long. Yeah. It's pretty succinct and pretty much identical to my joke.
It's like he ripped out your joke's heart.
Yeah, so...
Bites it on stage.
I had 15 minutes of just anguish. Of just letting it go. It's better that it happened then and not a month down the line
when sure. I
honed it and gotten the tags right. And then
you aborted it when it was still it was barely an embryo.
Yeah,
it still was.
We weren't attached to it yet.
It still was. I still was though. I just got a great response. I was like, yes, you know.
So you had to abort the baby joke.
There you go.
Oh, it all comes.
Guess I just got a bit.
Norton doesn't got that.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing. I'm going to tell the joke, and then I'm going to tell that joke.
Right.
But, you know, that happens from time to time. And you can either go one of two routes. You can say, I don't give a shit, and just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And you run the risk of looking like you stole the joke. Because I think a lot of times people do steal jokes.
Sure.
And it's not just
parallel. You hear it, and then...
It's not parallel thinking. And I think there can be parallel thinking, because that's just about... babies and bombs and TSA and getting on a plane, which a lot of comics do.
What
on planes. So that's
get on planes, and what's the shittiest thing about it? Security and screaming babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Food is, you know, that's,
so,
it's a little hack.
You know, but that's not the first time. I mean, I had another joke that when I first started about manatees. Mm. This one I don't know, though, because it was a comedian that's fairly well known. Should I say his name? Kostaki Economopoulos? You know this?
I was like, are you asking permission? But no, you're literally saying
no,
you
I'm trying
pronounce
to
his name.
No, Kostaki Economopoulos. You've heard of him, right?
I have not till now, no.
He's headlined through the improv.
I would Google
times.
That
he's
if I
black.
Did not injure my thumbs.
Yeah, yeah, he's an urban comic.
He's black, okay.
No.
It's not Balky's cousin on Perfect Strangers.
I've never seen him perform live before. I've seen clips of him, and he was up at one of the improvs, and another comic... Neary called me and he said, hey, this guy has your manatee joke. Mm. And first of all, the manatee joke is basically about manatees, how sailors used to mistake them for mermaids. Okay, I could see parallel thinking there.
Sure.
But then he said that...
Having sex with a manatee.
You couldn't... I said that you couldn't have sex with a mermaid, even if you wanted to, because they have a fish scale chastity belt, and they're half fish and half humans... And you can't, I don't know if you know this.
Fish gill chastity.
I don't know if you know this. Fish scale chastity.
Fish scale
belt.
Chastity. Belt.
And I don't know if you know, and then I would say, I don't
great
know if you know this, but fish don't have sex. They don't have sexual intercourse. So if you were going to have sex with a mermaid, you'd have to ask her to deposit some eggs in the corner and go jerk off on them.
Right.
And then flip up the seashell nipple.
You're
then,
milked.
Yeah, so that was a joke.
And that's where your two careers overlap right there, being a marine biologist and a comedian.
Yeah, the baby thing is like, okay, a lot of people flip.
The eggs of your career and the sperm of your comedy.
Yeah, that one was like, I worked with manatees.
In a big milky puddle.
I worked with manatees in my old job as a marine biologist. That was one of my major responsibilities that
sure.
I did. So, when he told me this, I understand parallel thinking, but I don't know this guy either, so there's no way he stole that joke unless he came into some crappy album. Like, I was like just starting out there.
Right.
I was like, but I'm just like,
so it just seemed like not a near you. It was just like, this is...
Well, here's how I handled that. I will still do that joke from time to time, randomly, but I just think that it wasn't relayed to me on how much the joke was like mine. I think he was saying, mermaids were mistaken for mermaids. Would you want to have sex with one? Okay.
Bada bing.
I can't possibly think that he had them lay eggs and then someone jerked them. If it was that much, that would be very mind-blowing to me. But,
right.
So...
And you know, you should almost feel like you are worthy of the manatee joke just because he...
Oh, definitely.
Signed
yeah,
a
yeah.
pact with them and, like, you know.
This is where I stand on that joke. If it came down one day to Kostaki Economopoulos confronting me about the joke, if it was, like, in fact identical, I feel like I would have a very strong understanding. Like, this is what I did for a decade that it worked for
right.
You know.
You just start gunning manatee questions
yeah.
at him.
Because,
average weight, body
because,
temperature.
Because,
come on, what do you know?
But you know, on the flip side of that is Jim Gaffigan has a huge manatee bit that's
yeah.
very funny that was on his one of his first albums.
Right.
And even on his website, he would sell like the merchandise about the manatee, and some of the money would go to the Save the Manatee Club. Even like it was very tight.
Everybody
in.
Wins.
So very tight end, and I mean, you know, so of course I didn't write that. So that really, you know, just because I worked with manatees for a decade, maybe that argument wouldn't work. But that one, I know in my heart, I wrote that. Even though I wrote this other one too, that one people would be like, "Oh, right, you didn't see Jim Norton's HBO special," which I didn't. Right. I've never seen. I like Jim Norton. I've never seen any of his specials. I know his comedy, but I've worked with him one time. Like on a weekend.
Right. So there's the examples. Like those two joke experiences. One. You know, a good observation about a thing that a lot of people experience. The other, something very personal to you, and you're like, okay, I don't even... Yeah. It doesn't matter who has this joke. I own this version of this joke because it originates for me, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not just an airport observation.
Exactly. But you know, I mean, there's the big...
Which are, you know...
There's the big debate between Louis C.K. and Dan Cook that, you know, was made public on his... more public Louis. Than it was on Louis,
Let the civilians know about it.
Yeah, on the show Louis on FX, which was a really good episode. And what I thought was great about that was Dan Cook didn't say sorry, and Louis C.K. didn't say, "Oh, I'm sure you didn't mean it." They both kind of said their piece. And I thought it was about the itchy asshole thing. It was like, "You really do get an itchy asshole." Which, you know, they're two heavyweights.
And apparently, Louis said that Dane wanted to play it a lot lighter, and that, like, because it had passed so far that he was already over it.
Oh, really?
But then he needed to, like, drag the wound back open hit that.
It was great. You know? I thought that was great.
That was awesome.
I mean, as a comedian, I thought it was great. I don't know if you're just, like,
that's why he's
what he's...
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So how does one, a layman, if you will, because that's how condescending of a human being I am, anyone who's not a comedian's a layman, low person, how does, like, the comedy fan tell between a joke thief and someone who's just a victim of some parallel thinking and came up with a similar joke, in your opinion? How did I become the interviewer? I just have a question I'm throwing out to you guys.
Right. How does an amateur with no eye or knowledge understand and discern very complicated ideas?
It's tough.
They don't. I'm right. And
you have to know their body of work, I think.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's tough. Look, I don't have the same style of comedy as Jim Norton, but I listen to Opie and Anthony. I like Jim Norton. I think he's very funny. But I appreciate the comics that he surrounds himself with, and a lot of them I really respect, you know what I'm saying, that are in his group of people.
Right, he vouches for them, so you're right.
Like they're him, they're like, in, you know, people like Bill Burr, or Louis C.K., or, you know, who else is on the show? Robert Kelly, Patrice O'Neill was on there all the time, David Tell. Nick DiPaolo, whoever's on the, you know, that. So to me, it was like he did the joke. I immediately, even though I know I thought of it myself, I'm not going to do it because one, he did it. I respect him and his comedy. And then those are the type of circles that I would want to be in as far as considered as a comic, you know?
Right.
Even though I'm not.
Sure. I mean, if that's.
So I mean, it was like, I'm not doing this
by
joke.
These.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, and also if it's a huge. Like, one of the... Carlsman C. has been accused of stealing jokes a lot.
Right, and the whole Cosby thing.
The Cosby thing. Yeah. Now, to me, if I was Carlsman C. and I watched the Cosby bit, let's say he completely came up with that bit on his own, even though it's extremely similar.
So close, yeah.
Yeah. Let's say he came up with it on his own, though. And then he heard the Cosby bit. Part of... You know, he's got so much material. You'd think he would just say, Cosby is the legend of comedy. One of the top legends of comedy. Mm. I would just think you would be let go. Like, maybe take the content down of the... So, but then it's like, then you get into the Carlsman Sia versus, what's his name, Ari Schaefer or Shafir, I don't know how you say his name.
Right.
Joe Rogan.
Ari
Schaefer.
Right.
Ari Schaefer, yeah.
So
I got...
Amazing racist.
Economopolis, right? And then I get Ari. Yeah. So, he... One of his big things was,
Is that me? Oh.
Beepsters. Yeah.
The interviewer?
Casio. I accidentally said it for no reason.
One of his big things was the... Remember the, about building the wall? The fence? They showed Ari's joke, and then who's gonna? Okay, and they did a show together and this and that. But honestly, that's like a topic that's
kind of like you, Norton, except for the character background that they had in the similar scene. Right?
I get that,
but it's a loose observation.
But at the same time, it's like let's just let that shit go.
It's pretty one plus one equals two.
Like if somebody took my eBaby joke, if I heard somebody do my eBaby joke, I would be pissed about that. Somebody told me recently. A comic that I worked with said, "Hey, I heard this guy doing your bit about sleep apnea, and he told me kind of what it was like." And I was like, "Well, I don't know that guy, and you could maybe—it's still a subject that anyone can do a joke about, you know." Sure. Anyone can do a joke about 80 meters, but it's be pretty out there to be a, pretty close to mine. I'm like,
it's, yeah, it's, I know that feeling because like I had a like my bit about the drug ad where the dog talks and you know, what if dogs could talk. I heard another comic like starting the premise of that bit, and like, yeah, when you hear that, your heart just goes, oh, what, yeah, is this guy? What are you doing? How do you?
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, he took it a different way, and it was completely, you know.
That's the thing, yeah.
And I didn't like as much as mine, which helped. And, you know.
But no, when you write a lot, and all of us do, I'd like to think that we all do, then you're going to you're going to come up with things that other people have thought of, but that's the whole idea behind, I think, the way you tell if someone's a thief or if there's parallel thinking is if you know a lot of their jokes and you can tell they've got a lot of original things, and if one sounds kind of like someone,
sure,
else's, I feel like that's where you know that
context,
person's not a thief, because look at all the other original bits they have.
Yeah, I don't know. I always think of, this is a weird analogy to this whole thing, but do you guys remember the movie Working Girl with Melanie Griffith?
What?
Okay.
Yes.
For some reason,
is this another big
Harrison
like cappuccino mappolino.
For some reason, I always think about this when I think about joke stealing or necessarily actually being able to validate that you wrote your joke in that movie. It's Melanie. There's Melanie Griffith,
Harrison Ford,
and Sigourney Weaver. And
Sigourney
Weaver is the boss, and she's a bitch. And Melanie Griffith is a secretary and is like working her way up.
Okay.
Isn't she vacuum topless in that movie too?
I don't know. Wow. Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's,
so.
I watched it a lot when it was on, like, one of those movies that would come on and just end up watching.
I just
and
remember that.
Melanie Griffith, I think.
I remember it, and I didn't see that.
And Harrison Ford started banging, and he bangs Sigourney Weaver and but.
They start banging.
And then, yeah. I think she's working her way up, or she wants to work her way up. She has a good idea because she wants to get out of
the Sigourney Weaver's like the big boss of this company.
And she takes Melanie Griffith's idea to like conglomerate these companies together that no one else thought of. And Sigourney Weaver takes the idea and takes credit for it.
Sigourney.
And kind of knocks her out of the picture. And there's a scene at the end where she gets in the elevator with the guy that Sigourney Weaver gave the idea to, and she has like a minute. Harrison Ford's like, you got 2 minutes. It's going up the elevator.
The elevator pitch.
She has to explain how to prove to him that she came up with the idea, and she's got this newspaper article, and I saw this newspaper article and the two of you, and I put this two together. So I always think of that movie when I'm like, okay, this is how I'd tell people that I wrote that joke. When there was a mother cat and we found it, and then the thing actually got eaten. There was a blood sign. I would go through this whole thing, and then I've looked it up on Google on my phone.
So
I have
like a joke origin alibi.
Yeah, I think
proof you came up with this material of your own volition.
Yeah, that way.
So let me get this straight.
And through Melanie Griffith and her beautiful.
Yeah, so to prove your point, you're gonna explain this to audience members individually in elevators and vacuum topless at some point.
Well, I vacuum topless all the time, so it's a little bit different when you're a guy. But
Does she get credit in the end? I haven't seen the movie.
She gets credit, and then she calls Harrison Ford from her corner office. That's
Brian. And Sigourney's like, she's like, right, washing dishes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
could have written it.
I'm glad.
You came up with the whole plot.
I don't think she's washing dishes.
Pretty much.
In my version, she's washing dishes. Oh, the irony is sweet.
The Working Girl 2 by Daniel Ruskin.
5 minute different ending.
Starring for a shop.
That's the dishwashing Sigourney Weaver.
I actually just have like 30 copies of that movie. I'm just trying to sell it. That's why I put that.
I knew
in.
You were
yeah.
plugging something.
So,
oh, you have muddled my intent.
PayPal account. I got them for you. $5. VHS.
Nice.
I don't even think you can get it on DVD Working Girl.
Well, nice. Lisa, you made a point. Well, we can end it here where you have your we're talking about that Mitch Hedberg joke, which was also a really good point. Because I think that you can still, although you guys have a similar premise.
He's dead.
One, he's
yeah.
gone.
No one remembers that guy.
He's
Mitch
almost,
Hedberg, who's that?
He's got to be
okay,
pretty fully decomposed by now.
Oh, yeah.
So I came up with this bit several years ago.
Some resin.
I love Dr. Pepper. Mitch. And I was eating in a P.F. Chang's. And I ask the waitress if they have Dr. Pepper, because few places have it. And she goes, yeah. Well, we have Mr. Pibb, same thing. And right there, it hit me, oh, it's not the same thing. First of all, one has a doctorate, and the other one's just a guy. And from there, I'm like, oh, that's a good premise for a bit. I wrote out a whole backstory of their lives, like how they were friends as kids, but you know, Mr. Pibb, he was like the bad guy on the wrong side of the tracks, and his mom was a whore, and there were drugs involved, and
the Hatfields and the Pibbs and the whole
right, like, the Pibbs, they just had a rough life. But the thing is, like the Peppers, like they just the they worked hard and they applied themselves.
Peppers and Pibbs.
Yeah, there's a whole
wrong
thing.
Side of the tracks. Right. So I mean, your very starting point for that joke was Mitch's entire joke.
And
was,
I didn't know.
Dude didn't even get his degree.
Oh, I didn't.
It was
even
hilarious.
Know.
And hilarious I think there's a way to
maybe
roundabout around. That
I never did it on stage ever. I performed it in not really performed it, but did it at a writer's meeting with a bunch of comics at the Improv, like in the afternoon. Mm. I was all proud of myself. I'm like, these guys are gonna think I'm a genius, and I do the whole bit, and like two comics were like, that's like a Mitch Hedberg bit, like exactly. I'm like, it is? Are you sure? Because I swear, how could anyone else? And sure enough, but it's like a one-liner, and I've got like a full page right now that just has a sad X over it now.
And I you ever had Dr. Check?
Dr. Check.
Yeah, they have Check Cola as a Dr. Check.
He got his degree in the Czech Republic. That's true.
Yeah, you know what I was just thinking of is like the, you know, what it's kind of like too is like when you go to CVS.
And knee-high is just like, he's like an acupuncturist or something.
When you go to CVS, they always have, like, they'll have Mucinex, and then they'll have the CVS brand right next to it, like, basically, check it out, same ingredients.
Yeah.
It's like, they have that throughout the entire store, whatever, lotion, medicine, band-aids, everything is the exact same.
Right.
They do that at grocery stores, too, but, too, and it's just like...
Talk about joke thievery.
Yeah.
Product thievery.
Yeah, so I think that's thievery right there. That's not parallel thinking. But parallel
right.
thinking...
And to undercut, too.
Yeah, well, they have to. They have to do that because where else are you going to put it? There's only CVS's and Walgreens. And that's
and,
they have.
And every supermarket, you know?
They have Walgreens
or Robitussin.
I've been
in Publix brand stuff my whole life. And
even, like, the
it's
warehouse
cheaper and just
stores
as good.
Do it, too,
yeah.
Now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
BJ's, Berkeley, and Jensen has a brand of products all its own.
Yeah, they should just get rid of the other brands. They should just have whatever brand store you're in.
Yeah.
That's kind of bringing it back. That'd be back bringing it back from big corporates back to...
Mom.
But like, just
mom.
Not mom, pop, but a little mommier and poppier. It would just be Publix. The Publix is still a big chain.
That's going to be the name of my Latin bakery is going to be called Mommier and Poppier.
A little mommier
and
poppier.
Mommier and poppy seeds.
Yeah, because that's, but no one fucking, that's why comedy's different. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, if you do a cover song, like I remember Mrs. Robinson by the Simon and Garfunkel,
uh-huh.
And then the Lemonheads recovered it, and I really liked the Lemonheads version, but it didn't make me like the Simon and Garfunkel version less. They sold records because I know they had to pay like a royalty or something, but I was like, this is still good, and nobody was like,
get big that way. Yeah.
Some purists will say whatever, but I still like covers, like the Alien Ant Farm cover
Smooth Criminal.
Smooth Criminal,
right,
Michael Jackson.
But that's like when you're putting your own spin on it, too, and like changing
the
style
completely.
And that's something music allows that comedy just...
Even if someone just sang Imagine, like John Lennon, and it sounded similar, I'd say, like, I like that song. I've heard people do covers from, like, I like this, it sounds good, you know, even though it's not that different. And you can do it at CVS with Tylenol, and you can do it... You can do it in all sorts of things. Like in jazz music, that was the whole thing about
with the manatee joke, if you do it right.
So I think you can do the joke, but you have to put your own spin on it. That's the thing.
As long as you came up with it.
Right.
If you honestly came up with it yourself, that, you know, we're not saying, hey, you could just take this person's joke and do your own spin on it. Like, you can't.
Exactly,
that's
right.
Not
it's not
how
like
it works.
A technology.
No.
You just update one feature and be like, his joke would be better if I changed three words.
Yeah, no.
It.
That's just... dishonest.
Those are the ins and outs, the thin line of comedy plagiarism.
Here's the other thing. This is the other way. I mean, I don't know who's gonna be listening to this, but I'm sure it's
everybody ever.
That's the answer. Everyone.
Here's another way you know if somebody's still a joke around is when you're going, let's say you're running an open mic at the Improv and there's a person you've never heard their name before, and then you hear a joke that you're like, that sounds familiar, and they absolutely kill with it. Not saying you can't be a prodigy. But chances are...
Right, it's in that context. When there are all these misses, and then all of a sudden there's this hit that just rolls off the tongue. It's like, you're reciting incantations that you didn't write.
I do that all the time. Like, if I hear a joke at somebody that a younger
comic... Yeah, people sit in the back and Google jokes.
Like, there's that joke. Oh, yeah, that was Ted Alexander. I remember doing that at a contest. Somebody did a Ted Alexander joke. A black woman.
Yeah.
The Ted Alexander show.
Oh, that's right.
That happened in some contests recently and stuff in the Miami scene.
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
And like, you know, someone advancing to the finals who's like, oh, you can't just assemble jokes you've heard from everywhere and do them? That's not what it
is. You know what the problem is about, you know why it angers comics though too? It's like, cause some people are like, oh, well, it was funny. Like the layman is, but sometimes you'll hear him say, oh, well, it's still funny. I thought it was funny. What happens is if somebody steals a joke and does it, and then somebody else steals a joke and does it, and it keeps happening, it makes that joke into a hack joke eventually. Because then it's just a joke that you've heard a million times.
For the joke's sake.
A lot of jokes have done.
For the poor joke.
Because then you're like, oh, we've heard.
Passed from person to person, comic to shitty.
Yeah, Viagra jokes, we've heard those. There was one
four
person.
4 hours or more!
There was one person that
called
that joke.
My ex-girlfriend.
Somebody wrote that joke first, right? Just like somebody wrote the, like, hey, a Polish guy and a priest walk into a bar. Like, somebody wrote that joke.
Somebody saw a Polish guy and a priest walking into a bar. It's funny.
Grabbed his notebook.
So at some point, downhill from there.
At some point, those jokes weren't street jokes and they weren't hack jokes, but they were just a joke somebody wrote and then somebody stole it and kept doing it, you know?
Right.
People are doing that with, we were talking about this the other day, Forrest, that people are starting to do that with, like, tweets.
Yeah.
And someone did that with Doug Stanhope's blog, just took his blog, like, copied and pasted it and made it like it was his content. But even something small like a tweet, which we tried.
I tweeted something.
I mean, you can retweet shit, and that's like.
I tweeted something.
And give that person credit for writing.
Right, you have
two guys,
explicit choice.
Two guys both told me on Facebook that I'm stealing that. They said that, and then they put it on their Facebook thing.
That.
So I went on their Facebook thing, I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh.
And it wasn't a retweet, it was just them. Writing the sentence that
pretty
you wrote
much, yeah,
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
not from
it wasn't like anything I care. It was a Tebow. It was a thing about Tebow, which a lot of people were writing.
Uncredited quotations.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
in this age of internet truth,
amazing. I wrote
accountability
this.
Is
I wrote this tweet that I thought wasn't very smart, but it was just like a cute thing. It was I don't think I'm all that, but I do think I'm a bag of chips. Okay, very simple
very
little
nice,
thing.
Very cute.
No one retweeted it, but I happened to be clicking around Facebook. And someone posted it as their status update, not a comedian, just a random fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just taking credit for, like, writing that content as their own.
Did you...
I commented on it, and I'm like, hey, that sounds familiar. I mean, it's not like they stole any money from me.
I mean, did they say anything, or
are
they just like, oh, you're funny? Or
yeah,
they they don't realize
no,
it?
No, they did say after the fact, like, LOL, like, that was Lisa Creo's.
Okay, so maybe they'd, like... They learn. So some people probably don't even think, you know? They don't
crazy?
Even realize that these words are
very
important to us.
Maybe they figured I didn't write it. Maybe they just figured it was just something funny I saw. And
so that's acceptable.
Right,
now
right. I don't think of a thing like that. How can someone else think of a thing like that?
If you steal material from someone, you just write LOL on it now?
I guess so. But again, this wasn't a comic. This was just a person
this
who
LOL
was a fan,
funny.
Actually.
Right.
So they were just taking it and getting my comments. Like, again, it's not money, so who cares, but...
Bullshit.
Yeah. But it comes down to, like, that argument that, like, you got laughs, it's funny. That's the same time people go, hey, well, look how much money they make. They're making tons of money.
Yeah.
They look at it like, that is an argument for a different problem that we're, you know,
well,
we're talking
about.
It's like, the end does not justify the means. The means are extremely important. And that they're
absolutely. Well,
honest
people
and
can't
organic.
See us right now, but the three of us are sitting on our own.
Well, if you want more
money.
Than money, right? If you want more than money,
we're sitting on stacks of cash
well,
right
if
now.
If you want an iota of respect, or you know,
I'm just gonna start writing a new hour of material every 2 weeks. That's how I'm gonna come about that. So.
That's how you gotta
fuck
do it.
Fuck Colin.
Yeah.
Fuck Louie.
Yeah. Every 2 weeks, new hour.
An hour.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
All right. Well, we're gonna
That's
check.
That's hard
up
to
that.
Do.
Well, fantastic, gang. As we're here watching on a way too large television, all sorts of abused animals.
Yeah, and yet Philly undercover.
Talking
my
crap down.
I know a lot about animal wounds now, and hopefully you have learned a thing or two about the comedy writing process and the nonsense that we deal with in our lovely lives. So I want to thank special guests, special people, special friends. The cats, Forrest Katz, for being here.
Yeah.
I'm glad they love it. And Forrest Shaw and Lisa Correo.
Cats are getting a lot of run lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Greg Fitzsimmons CatCast with you. And yeah, check out Forrest was on the Greg Fitzsimmons podcast. Blah, blah, blah. We're plugging stuff. The Jerk Show. Lisa has The Jerk Show. Check out thejerkshow.com.
I just wanted you to follow me on Twitter. Excited.
Yeah, follow her on what's the Twitter handle?
Oh, it's Lisa Correo. C-O-R-R-A-O.
Carajo, as I like to say.
Yeah.
Carajo, as for
sure.
Miami.
Make it exotic.
Lisa de Carajo. That means like shameful. It's a Cuban thing.
Oh.
And Forrest, you're Forrest underscore Shaw.
Yes, Forrest with two R's.
Two
underscore
R's.
Shaw.
Two R's. And I
super
am
convenient.
Daniel Reskin at RanielDeskin.com. Oh, no, not .com. Just that's my Twitter
Friend
name.
Follow.
So,
FF.
FF. We'll FF each other. Okay, gang. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye. And hello again. And that was an interview. We hope you enjoyed the talking and the discussion, conversating, and salivating.
And the performance. And the, if you're still listening to this, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
you're
thank you.
The end.
See, yeah, here's the thing, like, I know we're almost at an hour. I was really trying to keep it much shorter because here's the thing, we're not famous. And you only want to listen to famous people for about an hour.
Yeah, who cares, right? But hey, if you care enough right now, this is the beginning.
I salute you if you listen to a quarter of this.
So support us.
Unless it was this quarter, you missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, come out to Casa de Jaja at Sweat Records.
Yes, the next one is on the shittiest of love vomitatious holidays, Valentino Day.
Yes, yes, singles.
14th.
Lonely Hearts Club thing.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to all the comedians who performed that night. Forrest Shaw, Lisa Correo, Matt Z, Jay Mays, who didn't perform but he's our house comic, Jim Frederick, David Jura, Ben Morgan, Jonavie Goldstein, Lou Miguelowitz, and Brett Osinoff.
Awesome.
A
and signing
cast.
Off.
A lovely cast of characters. And expect an episode at least once a month, maybe more. Interviews, comedy bits.
Yeah, we should do this again. It was
creative
fun.
Stuff. Leave us a comment or suggestion on your comment or suggestion leaving interface.
Interface.
Please be constructive.
Like the Casa de Jaja page on the face.
Oh, so great.
Book.
Follow the Adrian Mesa on Twitter. His name is at Mesadilla.
It's like quesadilla, but with Mesadilla, all right?
Yes. Instead of cheese, substitute the Spanish word for table.
Do it.
And me, I'm at Raniel Deskin, as you've heard.
Spoonerizing man.
I love to spoonerize all night, ladies. And, yes. Thank you so much. And notice our music. The intro music was provided by the awesome Miami band Afro Beta. Afro Beta.
Love them. Great local band
so
here
good.
In Miami.
Coochie and Tony. They turn it outy. That first track that you heard is called That Thing. And we're going to go out on another track from their great album Under the Streets called Pistol Whip.
Get into it.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Pistol Whip, so legit. So hard to see.